My name is Abdul Karim Abdullah, CEO and founder of Afrofuture Festival, all the way from Ghana, and you're watching World Music Views.
Welcome to World Music Views.
Appreciate you.
A thought just came to me that Africa is the future of music. What do you think of that statement?
I mean, African music is in all sounds. Right, the sounds of the continent is developing all rhythms that are percolating around the world. So it is, that's the motherland.
And you're leading with Afrocella, now Afrofuture. So you've embodied the term Africa is the future. First of all, did you see this coming? Because African music been around for a long time and it didn't get the due that it deserved. Fela Kuti was also signed to the same label as Bob Marley. And Bob became who he became, Fela didn't. Did you see the African continent becoming as relevant as it is now in music?
Well, I wouldn't agree that Fela didn't. I think Fela has equally gotten his own shine as a creative and as a forefather of Afrobeat music. I think Bob Marley definitely has got world-renowned prominence, but so has Fela in his own right. And I think that we should respect the music in equal sense. I think both of them are very, very impactful. Now, as far as African music, Afrobeat specifically, I just think that right now it's just past the fad, right? Now it's a thing that is a part of us. It's with us, and it's beyond just kind of like Afrobeats as a genre. Within that term that people coined to reference African music, there's R&B, there's hip hop, there's amapiano, house music, deep house. All of those things are percolating and are the sound of the tune right now, and I see it for the future.
So let me start from the beginning where I should have started. Tell me who you are and how you got your present job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my name is Abdul Karim Abdullah. I'm the founder CEO of Afrofuture Festival. And I just wanted to create a space where the global Black diaspora can connect over very simple things like food, like art, like fashion, and music, definitely. I think that these are things that we use to communicate our cultures around the world. And we wanted to be able to kind of test our theory that, our differences are very minor compared to our similarities.
Afrocella originally got its name from Coachella, right?
No.
Where did that name come from?
Well, we wanted to be able to kind of speak to sounds of Africa. Chela is a term that is means sounds of. It's a Latin word, and we wanted to be able to communicate African sounds, and that's why we chose Afrochella at the time. But I think that the work that we've done over the past 7 years has allowed us to like really kind of fully understand what we are trying to do, and that's be a bridge between the global Black diaspora.
So it definitely had nothing to do with Coachella.
No, it didn't.
So why did Coachella give you guys a cease and desist, or why did that happen?
I mean, honestly, you can ask them. I don't know, and I don't. Is that was their perspective. I don't agree with it, but we move on past it.
All right. So the Afrobeats has a singles chart on the Billboard chart through Afro Nation, right? One, did you have anything to do with that also? And do you also work with Afro Nation as a group?
No, we are independent companies. I mean, I think they're doing an amazing job selling African music as well on the world stage. For us, our focus is on the continent specifically and getting people to come back to the continent and really change the narrative of retelling, the African story. We're not just a concert. We're more than that. We're a cultural festival. So a lot of our work is really based on getting people to kind of have a different perspective of what the continent is, very different from a concert.
I know you're from Ghana.
Yeah.
Do you have a vested interest in Ghanaian artists like Stone Boy or the others becoming big or bigger? Is there a competition going on between Ghana and Nigeria that those of us who are not from there don't know about?
No, I wouldn't say it's a competition. Well, maybe a healthy competition, if you may. It's really just kind of motivating each other. You know what I mean? Despite the banter that people may see online or see between artists, I think there's a love for just wanting to be able to push the continent forward and be the best at doing that. And that's what you see is that healthy motivational banter between countries. But yeah, I think that I do have a vested interest in seeing all talent grow. You know what I mean? Burna Boy, you know, I was here when he did a 2000 show. I was there when he did the Madison Square Garden. So we've seen all of our artists grow before the world was paying attention to them. We already knew that they were superstars.
There is definitely a lot of chatter about Afrobeats replacing reggae dancehall, because as you know, prior to now, dancehall with Sean Paul, Shaggy, and Beanie Bounty, they were like the big acts in the US. But now it's Wiz, it's Burna. They're selling tens of millions of records, which has not happened outside of the American Black community in a while. Is Afrobeats replacing dancehall?
No, I don't believe so. And I think that, you know, it's sad that people kind of reference music and creativity like that. You know what I mean? I think that dancehall is what it is, and is still doing amazing work. There are a lot of amazing dancehall artists that are doing their thing. You know, Spice, Shensia, you know, Rhino, Black Rhino, you know, Popcon, all putting out amazing dancehall music right now. And I think that we just need to focus on more so appreciating each other than looking at it as a competition or a replacement. I think when we reframe how we think about it, then it will allow us to go further together than opposed to pitting each other against each other. You know what I mean? I think that's the majority of the work that we're trying to do with the festival, is just kind of like never allow these narratives to dictate what our culture is. Dancehall music is my culture. I grew up listening to that. I grew up dancing to that. I grew up going to bashman parties. I grew up going to soca parties. That is all a motivation to me. And I think that once we start thinking about it as competition, as a placement, as one against each other, you know, we will start to appreciate our cultures together even more.
Would you ever bring Afrofuture to Kingston, Jamaica?
I would love to. I mean, Jamaica is one of my favorite places I ever visited. And anybody that's Jamaican, when they visit Ghana, it would remind them exactly of Jamaica. And anybody that has visited Jamaica, I can tell you, they see Ghana as home, you know, based on my experience. You know, and I want us as Black people, whether you're in Jamaica, Antigua, St. Croix, St. Vincent, you know, any of these countries, and you think about Africa, you feel that there's something that you can reach and touch. You know, there's really not that much difference between us and the way we eat, the type of food that we eat, and the way we dance, our cultures, our mannerisms, our values. All of those things are very similar. We just don't know about each other that well. You know what I mean? And the festival is allowing us to do that.
I ask all my guests this in recent times because it is a problem. Afro beats, Afro fusion, those genres are selling millions of units, as we said. What do you think is reggae's selling problem?
You know, I would say, I don't necessarily know that it has a selling problem. I think maybe right now what Afro beats is doing is all of these talents are showing that they're not just an artist in a box. As in, they are not just an Afro beats artist. I'm a R&B singer who happens to be of African descent. And I think that once we start making world music, if that's what the artist chooses to do, right? Maybe some people, their job is not to sell all over the world. Maybe they just want to make music for the people that they make music for. And you know, some people want to make music for the world. There are Afrobeats artists like Flavor that are doing amazing numbers in Nigeria. He doesn't necessarily, you know, his music in Igbo is not necessarily appealing to the world. Right now, the ones that are appealing to the world are those Anglophone, Afrofusion, R&B type records. They're doing pretty, pretty well. And, you know, and I think that we need to be satisfied with how we grow. Bad Bunny has not had to change anything, and he's selling the most around the world. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, as we continue to push the music, get more listeners, you know, maybe, you know, Caribbean artists need to come to the continent, come go travel, tour more, you know, build more artists. I think that's some of the work that Afrobeats artists are doing in numbers, you know, and the promoters. And I think that we need to probably see more promoters, get more of the acts. I've never seen Popcorn perform in the U.S. Let's try and figure out how we can get them out here. Like, you know, let's try and get more artists to fill those gaps. When I was growing up, there was Movado, there was Vybz Kartel, there was all of these artists that you couldn't go anywhere without hearing them on a weekend. And I think that that energy is what's missing from the space. And I think once that's back, you know, we'll see that, you know, right now is our time. We're consuming our own music. Black people are consuming our own music. So I don't see it as an issue.
The Afro Beats chart in America is a measuring stick to see how singles are being measured in America. It's something you can see weekly, and it changes every week. You can know Rima is at the top, Burna Boy there, Tems there. Reggae doesn't have that. Do you think there should be a space for both charts, both a reggae chart and an Afrobeats chart?
Yeah, and I think that if there's something that you see that maybe you should create a reggae Afrobeats, a reggae chart, you know, and pitch it to the DSPs. I think that what you're seeing is, you know, there's nobody behind the scenes pulling the strings for Afrobeats. Afrobeats promoters were the first ones putting up their money, just like reggae promoters, to book their artists, push their artists, and things of that nature. We created a niche space, and that's what we're being able to see. You know, the guys created this Afrobeats charts, and I think there's absolutely no reason why a reggae chart can't be created. Maybe it's for us to be able to see who's charting, what music is coming out, you know, what we should be listening to. Maybe we need more content from the Caribbean showcasing, you know, these artists and what they do. Like, you know, I'm always down to watch a Sizzla documentary or, you know, a documentary about what's happening on the ground in Jamaica or in Trinidad or any of these places. You know, we just need to be able to see it. We need that content.
Well, we actually do. WorldMusicViews.com. If you go on and click charts, you'll see the weekly YouTube charts, because that's the most consumed platform in Jamaica. You'll see the Spotify's, you'll see the Apple Music, you'll see the US chart, UK. We actually do it. And that's one of the reasons why I'm asking you, because I really want
to. I mean, so like let's get Billboard to give you that partnership and continue to publish it. We didn't want to be able to see it. You know what I mean? I think some of the things that we, you know, we just got to keep making noise until they recognize us. And I think that, you know, right now, Afrobeats is making that noise where it's, you know, they have to listen, you know, and I think that we can get reggae back to that place as well.
Yeah, I love Afrobeat, which is one reason I'm interviewing you, because I think Afrobeat complements reggae dancehall, not competes with it. And if both genres can carry each other, like Burna Boy did a whole cover of a dancehall song. That has never been done. No one has ever covered Black Rhino song. That don't happen in dancehall. It's more the other way around, where dancehall would cover somebody else's song. So the genre is actually complementing each other. But there is something special about Afrobeats. The fashion, the look. Like Burna Boy, he's really an African giant. The man come on stage, him teeth white. Him look like this very muscular guy, like how Shabba Ranks looked back in the days. And it's just he just has this superstardom quality to him, which improves his value. So my question to you, what do you think is the value of Afrobeat now, dollar value?
Well, it's about $4.8 billion. I mean, right now, that's the actual number for the value of it. You know, we've created an industry. We're selling on the continent. We're selling worldwide. You know, these guys are selling out arenas now, which is a major feat. You know, so, you know, people are traveling around the world just to see Afrobeat's concerts. You know, I think there's value in that. You know, what we've seen that in the Caribbean is with people traveling all over the world to go to Carnival. And I think that, you know, cohesively, we just need to kind of figure out a way to draw out those values. Our music is valuable, and we just need to know how to use it better.
Who are your top five artists, your all-time favorites? Doesn't have to be any one genre.
Well, Jay-Z is at number one. You know, that's my favorite artist of all time, you know, in person. I would say, you know, Vybz Kartel is definitely at the top of my list. Bob Marley, grew up on it. That's what my parents always put me on. Fella, for sure, and Wizkid.
Oh wow, that's a nice diverse list. Are
Yeah,
we the same age?
Honorable mentions, you know, you want to say Stone Boy, Obraff War, you know, who else? Stone Boy, Obraff War, Jules, you know, some of my favorite guys. Those are some of my favorite people. Yeah, absolutely. Jadakiss. I mean, world music wise, I would say all of those guys.
Exactly. I love to ask that question because I love to introduce the audience to new artists. Like, I know a lot of people are not going to know who Jules is. And by you saying it, it's going to prompt them to go
I
find
think they should know Jules. Jules is the person who ushered the new modern Afro beats. And that's why we're here today. Producers like him extended the sound into a different way. And that's how we've been able to get to the place where now it's pop music, in essence. And Jules is one of the first. He produced Skin Tight by Mr. Easy. And he
Oh, wow.
produced
I remember that song.
he produced a couple of other he produced off Wizkid's recent album. Damn, what is that song?
Beanie Man was on Skin Tight, right?
Beanie Man was on Skin Tight. But it was Wizkid, it was FBI and Mr. Easy originally. He also produced True Love with Wizkid on that album and a few others with Burna Boy. So he's produced some of the our biggest records.
Yeah. When is the next Afrofuture event?
Afrofuture is always December 28th and 29th in Accra, Ghana. We welcome everybody to come out and experience the culture, meet with like-minded individuals that are doing some amazing work on the ground and from the diaspora. You know, we've had a lot of artists all over our stages, people from all over the world, from the Caribbean, from Trinidad, from Jamaica, from Barbados, come out and show love. And we want to continue to build that bridge.
We would love to come cover. I have two TV shows. This is 1 year on World Music Views. I have another one in 30 markets called the Business and Entertainment Show. We're on the Stock Exchange TV station in Jamaica and New York. So we would love to come cover, tell the stories,
We'd
interview
love to have you. Absolutely. Let's make it happen.
Let's make that happen.
Make it happen.
Christmas is my birthday. Christmas Day is my birthday. So it's
You're
Africa
gonna
Christmas.
have a blast in Ghana, man. You're gonna have a blast in Ghana. I'm telling you that. That's a promise.
No,
You know,
I definitely would love to come.
I never used to promise people, but now I promise people because I know you're gonna have a good time. We've been tested several years.
Nice. If you could tell reggae dancehall artists anything from a promoter's perspective, what would it be, especially to the young acts?
I mean, I would say that they should expand their audience beyond the reggae dancehall listeners. Come to the continent. The continent is in love with reggae music, is in love with dancehall culture. They just need to be able to feel the artists more. I think Popcorn coming to Ghana has been a big thing in Ghana. Like the youth love to see him. The youth love his style, love his swag, his feature. You know, people want to be like Vybz Kartel. Even on the continent. So, you know, I encourage them to definitely come to the continent and vibe out with the people for sure.
Is Bob Marley still like the number one act
He's
in our
like God. You know, there's been recently drama because he has been his music has been remixed by Sarkodie in Ghana. So, you know, you had a lot of people who felt like it was a desecration, and you had a lot of people who felt like me.
who remixed it?
Sarkodie. He's a rapper from Ghana, worked with the Bob Marley family to remix that song. But people like me felt that that was a great expansion and development of the music and reaching out from the family. And I'm excited to see more collabs like that happen between reggae and dancehall artists and Afrobeats artists.
From a conscious level, and Bob was about that, Ghana was the place where a lot of our ancestors come from, right?
Yeah.
To come to this side of the world. Is there still that consciousness about that relationship in terms of the
Absolutely.
slave trade and all that?
Absolutely. There are Rastas actually living life in Ghana, right? They're people who live life as Rastas in Ghana, and that's because of that influence. You know, we have several Jamaican restaurants that sell jerk chicken. You know, all of this influence from the Caribbean all the way from people who have never been there. is still happening in Ghana. So our job is to continue to connect those cultures. And I, you know, a lot of our audience that come to Ghana for the festival are Jamaicans. And the reason why they keep coming back is because it reminds them of home in Jamaica. So I look forward to seeing more Jamaicans and more people from the Caribbean come through to the continent and experience it. We want to dispel and demystify all of these different, I guess, narratives that have been put in place for us.
Do you think the Grammys are important to music's development?
Yeah, and like all things, it's definitely important. It exists as a structure. I mean, I think we should definitely find ways for it to be more equitable to us, and we should probably put more reverence in our own awards and develop awards that celebrate us. You know, now that you have a charts and, you know, the Afrobeats charts have a chart, you know, maybe we can create our own that celebrates our own, that is, you know, that can be equally as valuable to us as the Grammys. I think right now, you know, we're searching for acceptance, and, you know, we don't need to search for that because we are who we are, and we're the ones that the culture, the world is mimicking.
Who are your other business partners in Afrofuture?
I have a bunch of partners on the ground. You know, my partner Kenny is the COO, co-founder of the festival. We have an amazing team. We have BB&Z Live, which is another creative studios. A lot of artists have come out of there, creators from that continent, from that space. My brother Vernell Ochampo, he works on all of our art installations and developments. There's so many to name. Edward Asafo J was a partner who developed, you know, all of our artwork, things of that nature. So we're working on all of these. We have partners all over the world as well. You know, in Cote d'Ivoire we have La Sunday. In Americas we have PVO, Amplify Africa. There are a bunch of people that we work with across the diaspora.
Wow, thank you so much, Abdul.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is World Music Views. I love your insight. I love your perspective. You're doing exactly what the music is about, which is the business. And you're doing it big, my brother.
Thank you so much.
I reached out to you because I saw you do another interview. And I was like, yo, this guy aligns right with what World Music Views with.
Thank you so much.
I'm happy to talk to you.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Pleasure was mine.